you hear that? What you're listening to right now is an artistic rendition of DNA, digitized and manipulated to create music. The first movement of this four-part suite is based on the genetic sequence of bacteria. Bacteria manufactured by students at the University of Lethbridge. Their goal, to create a life form that can neutralize toxins in oil sands tailings ponds. Perhaps scientists James Watson and Francis Crick were right on the mark when they declared, "We have found the secret to life."
One thing you'll know if you go to England and to Cambridge, there's actually a bar called the Eagle where Watson and Crick frequently discuss DNA. And so there's a plaque to identify that this is where DNA was discussed, and certainly a lot of people do go and just to see the plaque and be in the bar where this is all discovered.
That's Dr. Shiraz Bakht. He's an assistant professor in pediatrics at the University of Alberta. And without the discovery of Watson and Crick, he wouldn't be doing the cancer research he is today on the RAS-F1 gene. It was April 25, 1953, when Watson and Crick published their description of the double helix structure of deoxyribonucleic acid, DNA. DNA is the blueprint of life, the genetic instructions that guide the construction and function of our cells. Sometimes the genes we inherit get it right. Sometimes the genes change, and the result is disease.
Our research is very centered on cancer and understanding the origins of cancer and also in how cancer progresses. And when I say about the origins of cancer, what I'm talking about is actually DNA and how DNA is changed in individuals that are predisposed to getting cancer. We know there's a lot of sequences that are present in your DNA, are arrangements that are very susceptible to undergoing changes. And these changes happen quite early in the path to getting cancer. And so what we're investigating is, can we utilize this information to come up with early diagnostic tests for certain cancers that are very hard to detect, such as pancreatic cancer, lung cancer, ovarian cancer. These are very hard to detect cancers. So our work is very centered on diagnostics and understanding the origins of cancer.
As Dr. Bakht explains it, Mother Nature has designed very interesting mechanisms to turn genes on and off, much like you turn a light switch on and off.
And cancer is one typical example where cancer cells have actually turned off a lot of genes that are involved in the natural program to kill the cell. And so cancer cells are very smart because they want to survive, so they've shut down the program that would cause itself to die. So they survive much, much longer than most cells. So turning genes on and off is very important to understanding biological processes and for understanding what's called disease pathogenesis or the origins of disease. Because if we can understand when genes are turned on and off, meaning they're active or not active, then we can really at least trace the origins of diseases and maybe help patients that have these diseases.
Advances in sequencing genomes for humans and livestock have helped biologists in their studies of wildlife. Dr. David Coltman is a professor of biological sciences at the University of Alberta. His expertise in genetics is critical to the research on a herd of bighorn sheep that scientists have followed for four decades.
So what we've been able to do is use genomic tools to generate, you know, a genome map for bighorn sheep. And we're actually trying to do things like figure out what are the genes that actually influence things like your ability to give birth to a good lamb or how big your horns are, those kind of traits. So we're actually starting to take some of the things that people have been doing with livestock and in human genetics and apply this to wildlife for other reasons.
It's easy to see the relevance of genomic research that's related to finding a cure for disease or improving the production of food. Certainly genomics now underscores many aspects of our lives, from fighting crime to recreating the past lives of dinosaurs. So what does the study of DNA and genomics mean to conservation biology?
One of the things we've been looking at for, you know, the last 10 years or so is, what is the impact of that hunting pressure on the evolution of these animals? Like, does it have an impact? If you imagine, if you wanted to make sheep that didn't have horns, the best thing you could possibly do would be to shoot all the rams with the big horns before they reproduce. And if you kept doing that, presumably they'd evolve to have no horns. That would be the logical outcome of that, according to Darwinian selection. So that's something that we're looking at. What are the genes that play a role in horn development? Does human harvesting have an impact on genetic variation at that level? Are we actually selecting against the very things that we value in these animals in the way that we utilize that resource? So that's a fundamental question that I'm interested in, which I think is As a biologist, it's fascinating because it deals with natural selection, evolution, and genetics. But I think as a resource manager or as a member of the public, this is something we should care about. We should care about whether or not our activities have a deleterious evolutionary impact, not just an impact on how many animals, but on the genetic makeup of those populations. And I think this is of value to everybody.
It's really only since the 1990s that scientists have had access to the technology that allows them to investigate biological systems at this very minuscule level. And the pace of change is exponential. Dr. David Coltman.
My entire PhD work, the number of samples and the number of genotypes that I produced over 5 years is like a day of work now for people in my lab. It's changed so quickly. The resources that have been brought along through the human genome sequencing and all of these really basic molecular biology with model systems and livestock has really advanced the field technologically and knowledge base. And those of us who work on wildlife are able to benefit from those breakthroughs.
Thanks to Dr. David Coltman and Dr. Shiraz Bakhsh for their insights on the study of genomics. And thanks to Dr. Will Smith, professor of new media at the University of Lethbridge, and the creator of this music inspired by DNA sequencing. For Genome Alberta, I'm Cheryl Crocher.